This is John DeBose, host of Headphone Meditations. You're listening to Shyampa Radio.
The Joe and Anthony Show does not necessarily reflect the views of Shyampa Radio, its sponsors, the Intermedia Group, or the local community radio station carrying this episode. This show can be offensive and may not be your safe space. So there's your trigger warning.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from Nullsoft Shoutcast.
This is the show that nobody told you about. The show that your brother warned you about. This is the show that you probably shouldn't be listening to. This is
Shyampa.
But wait, my spare data crystal 9 got lost at Pride.
And hey everybody, it's Joe in Chicago.
Hi. I am your lovable artificial personality unit, Betty, and you know what? My butthole is buzzing for tonight's episode 93 of the Joe and Anthony Show, Medical Cannabis and Hospitalization. For Monday, June 26, 2017. Hey Anthony, how is the weather in Tampa for you Tampanites?
Wow, 93. Wow. We're almost in syndication.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome.
And I was muted for the first part of it. So, you know, as always, it makes sense.
Sometimes that's helpful to mute yourself because, you know, you never know what could be.
Percolating around. All right. It's time for your Shyampa weather for Tampa Bay from Tampa International Airport, KTPA. It's going to be another soggy and hot week. Don't leave your sunroof open. I did that last week. The car is still drying out. Unless you're listening live, it is not currently overcast with an 88-degree temperature. Humidity is 70%, so we have a heat index of 100 degrees. It literally feels like a swimming pool when you step outside. Dew point is 77, and visibility is, though, 10 miles. So you can see 10 miles in the swimming pool. Tonight, Monday night, will be mostly cloudy with a low around 77, 30% chance of scattered showers and storms before 11. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 89 and a 50% chance of scattered showers and storms after 8 in the morning. Overnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 76, 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms mainly before 11 in the evening. And then on Wednesday, will be mostly cloudy with a high near 89 with a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. So it's just going to keep getting wetter and wetter. That's going to happen after 2 in the afternoon. Overnight will be mostly cloudy with a low around 76 and a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 in the evening. And that's your Shyampa weather for the Tampa Bay area. Back to you, Betty.
Thanks, Anthony. And now for your Chicagoland weather. Take it away, Joe.
Hey, thanks, Betty. Remember, folks, if you're listening to this on a recast, this forecast no longer applies. From KMDW, Chicago Midway International Airport, it's currently mostly cloudy and breezy at 70 degrees. The dew point is at 42 degrees, and the humidity is at 37%.
My wine's almost
the winds,
gone.
Yes, I can see that. The winds are out of the northwest at 21 miles per hour and gusting to 26. And for you pilot types, the visibility is as far as your eyeballs allow. On the night of this broadcast, we could expect a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8. So it could happen anytime now.
Brace yourself.
Anytime. Brace yourself. It will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming clear with a low around 57. On Tuesday, expect sunny skies with a high near 74. On Wednesday, expect a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Partly sunny then, with a high near 79. It will be gusty. And that's it for your Chicago weather. Back to you, Betty.
Thanks, Joe. Hey, Betty here. Please take some time to listen to the following that we recast here on Shyampa Radio, the World Labor Hour on WRFU and CPR News, hosted by Don DeBar, Toppers with Gil from Boston Free Radio, and Headphone Meditations with John DuBose. By the way, all of the background tracks we use at the Joe and Anthony Show were created by Kevin McLeod. Support Kevin's music by visiting incompetech.com. Support your local independent mom and pop's restaurant and shops. And keep it tuned to Shyampa Radio. And now, Joe and Anthony get cracking with Talking Point segment, affectionately known as the TP segment. Take it away, guys. Buddy out.
I lost my pointer.
No, see, I changed that up.
We
made some improvements and efficiencies.
We made some improvements in the studios. And what we also have coming up to us this evening is we have Amy with us. Hello, Amy. How are you tonight?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. I'm clearly drinking a lot faster than anticipated.
Yeah, you said you finished your wine already and the show hasn't
yes.
started, dude.
It kind of helps things move along.
It's a Monday.
Yeah. Oh, God, has it been a Monday?
Thank God it's Monday.
You're the only one that likes Monday because you're off on Mondays.
That's
so,
right.
So now you've become our favorite kind of activist in a lot of ways, because it seems that you go and you have these experiences that a lot of us don't get ourselves into, and we learn from you. You've become a wise advisor for us. So recently you've been hospitalized.
Mm-hmm.
And So kind of talk us through that. I mean, what happened that caused you first off to go to the hospital?
Mm-hmm. Well, I those of you that know my story, I ended up getting off almost all my big pharma, but one. I'm working on getting off of that one. And then I dropped 205 pounds, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden...
Wow.
My heart decided to give out.
Isn't that how it always works? It's like, really? I've done all this great stuff,
yeah.
and now something's yep. going to go wrong. So,
well,
so what?
My cardiologist said it was actually good that it waited until then, because she said if I was still on all the pills, I probably never would have known something was wrong, and I wouldn't be here today.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, what happened was I truly, myself, in my heart, believe that deep down, I truly believe it was all the years of the meds that has caused this with my heart, because I took liver flushes and kidney flushes every day for 5 years, and I have no problems with those organs.
Yeah.
But my heart, I have no family history whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
and I'm 47, just turned 48, and there's no reason why I should be having heart problems.
Yeah.
And I ended up with an electrical blockage, left branch blockage, and I thought they were going to tell me it was some sort of side effect I was having coming off my Wellbutrin. So mm-hmm. I had my heavy take me into the hospital, and she hooks me up to the EKG, and in less than 30 seconds, this doctor's telling me I need a pacemaker.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And
wow.
Yeah. Talk about scary. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they rushed me up to ICU, cardiology
shit.
ICU. Wow. I kept passing out in the ICU because what happened was the bottom chambers of my heart totally quit.
So you were like right on the line. If you were like an hour later, a couple hours later, things would have been a lot different.
It could have been.
Wow.
Yeah. It had been going on for months. She thinks it actually started a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But I started noticing a heavy chest pressure, shortness of breath, and feeling my pulse in my throat.
Ah.
And it just kept getting worse and worse. And that night I was driving back from D.C. and I started feeling lightheaded. So I pulled over, called AAA, had them tow my car.
Okay.
And, had him take me to the hospital. They kept me in ICU.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, of course, they had me on the monitors the whole time. And the next day they said, okay, we're going to put a temporary pacemaker in because we need to see if that's going to fix your problem.
Okay.
So I can tell you this, that when I went into ER, I was totally open with them. I told them I'm a cannabis patient, that I am a medical patient from Oregon, just moved to Maryland. I am the second person that was entered into the Maryland system. So I'm already in the process of working on getting my card here. I didn't know what response I was going to get. I had no clue.
I can imagine that'd be scary because I haven't even told. I don't think my general practitioner knows. I've never told her that I smoke weed, and it's like I'm like,
well,
shit,
the
you know.
This is not only, you know, am I over in a hospital as a cannabis patient, but we're brand new over here.
Yeah.
So we have just Todd and Melanie and myself, my daughter and my husband and myself. So to tackle something like this, being that far away from home too, was pretty hard.
Oh yeah.
But they put the temporary one in, and they could tell that it was working.
Okay, good.
And so they went ahead and put a permanent one in on 420.
Oh wow! How about that? That is awesome. That is that.
Isn't that awesome?
See, I didn't even. I knew when it was getting done because you were kind of going on Facebook, but I didn't realize it was that date. That is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I got my new lease on life on 420.
Wow.
Which I think is just absolutely hilarious with the fact that I didn't even do cannabis until 2014. So it just makes it even funnier.
Oh, no, definitely.
But, they put the pacemaker in me. Now, the first time, we want to talk about the pain meds and how do you deal with that as a medical cannabis patient in the hospital, right?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean, especially you because I'm sure you want to avoid certain pain meds because you've just gone on. I mean, if you're an alcoholic and you stop drinking, you don't go back to drinking at some point, just like if you quit smoking. So for you, obviously, this is not something you want to do. So how did they handle that and how did you work with that with the medical cannabis?
Well, we took my capsules with, and we took my my candy, my medibles with that I make at home for myself, and had those on me, and had my Kush creams, topicals, and I also had my doTERRA essential oils. These are the things that I use on a regular basis.
Okay.
And I had them sitting out right there.
Wow.
And I know I'm pretty brazen. But I had him sitting out, and actually, we had really good conversations about it. And every single person, the first hospital I was in, which I give a humongous amount of kudos to, is Calvert Memorial in Southern Maryland. Every single person there was absolutely wonderful. Everybody supported cannabis. Every person that walked into that room, I talked to them about cannabis.
Oh, wow.
Whether they were a nurse, a doctor, someone that was cleaning my room, someone that was bringing me my food. I talked to everybody about it.
That's awesome.
And I had my, my CBD hemp cream from Kush Cream sitting right there. So they would ask me questions about that. And the thing was, is my cardiologist totally supported me doing cannabis.
Oh, good.
She even wrote, I know, check this out. She wrote an order for my husband to bring it from home to have in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, it's on record. The problem was is that he had already taken it back home because we were already told we couldn't have it, and that was by the pharmacist.
Okay.
So what I think is very interesting to pull from this is that my doctor had no say, and she's the one that's treating me. She had no say whether I could use it or not. She wrote the order for it, but it was the pharmacist and the ICU floor manager that had the overall final say as to whether I could have it in the hospital or not.
Now, was there reasoning on the fact that everything had to go through their pharmacy and they just didn't have it available? Or was it just the fact that they didn't understand it and they just wanted it out?
It was both.
Okay.
They were very supportive. They understood how it's helping people. They agreed with the fact that they have seen reports of it helping people and healing people. So they weren't totally against it. They were very open to it, and they want to learn. And so what I did was I had Todd bring some of my hemp stuff from home. So I showed them a hemp CBD spray that I had because they said it's not in actual packaging because it doesn't say what's in it, how many milligrams it is, and with directions on it, we can't let you have it. Now, if it was like my hemp CBD stuff that says on there what it is, what contains in it, where it came from, and how to use it, that would have been perfectly fine.
So it sounds like in some way it was more of a whole liability issue than anything.
Yes, it was totally liability.
Okay,
totally
gotcha.
Liability. Yeah. They didn't want to get in trouble. And of course, you know, it's still Schedule One. So you run into the whole conflict with it being on hospital property with Schedule One, because they kind of put it all into the whole thing, because you're dealing with the insurance company. And
yeah, you don't want to lose government. Funding. I mean, that the government, the federal government, that's a big tit to suck on, and they definitely don't want to lose that one. So
yeah,
I can totally
but
get that.
They were very supportive. Mm-hmm. The temporary pacemaker they put in, they tried to put in my leg. In my big artery.
Okay.
And
okay.
I told them I did not want any pain meds. And they said, actually, you shouldn't need any. We do this stuff all the time, and it's just a quick procedure.
Huh.
I was like, okay, cool. Huh. Well,
go figure.
A patient with neuropathy is very different than an average patient that has not had 14 surgeries prior to this.
Yeah, true. Very true.
My body reacted very differently than what someone else's would.
You know, so let me ask you, though, they can place these pacemakers anywhere, really? I thought they were always close to the heart.
They are. The temporary one, they tried to put in my leg. They tried to put it in a main artery, and then that didn't work, so they tried to put it into my neck, and that's where they ended up putting the temporary, was in the right side of my neck. Then they kept it there for 2 days and then went in and put the permanent one, and that is on my left side, on my chest, which happens to be the side where my car accident happened.
Ooh.
Where I almost lost my arm, and
ooh,
where all a lot of my neuropathy is.
Yeah. So that's not very comfortable. But they can go
so
in
I was
through
concerned.
Yeah. Oh, totally understandable. But yeah, for Joe, they can go in. What they do is they can actually go in through your leg. They do it for like different cardiac things, like they can like to the cameras and do the surgeries and stuff like that. And they go in through your leg, and they go all the way up through your what artery it is. I fell asleep in biology. The femoral artery, and they go right in your heart all the way from your leg. Go figure. Yeah, it's crazy stuff.
That's insanity.
It is.
But wow.
Yeah. So I didn't have any pain medication with that.
Okay.
I started kind of freaking out a little bit, and so they just gave me some Ativan to help me calm down, which just put me to sleep.
Okay.
Now, when I had the permanent one going in, I told them, okay, I've already experienced some pain, because that temporary one, I came out and I was hurting. And the only thing that I got was anti-inflammatories.
Yeah, wow.
That was it.
Wow.
Yeah, anti-inflammatories and muscle relaxer. That's what I was given. And so I go in for the permanent one, and I said, okay, I want something while I'm in the OR. And they said, okay, we will give you fentanyl. And I spoke to the anesthesiologist, too. They put me in the OR, and apparently I started screaming and yelling, because they had to go out and ask Todd, my husband, permission to put me fully under. And he gave them permission. So then they ended up, most likely, I think it was they gave me ketamine. That's usually what they use in the OR, put you under. So they ended up having to put me fully under. When I came out, I was able to have, I believe it was 2 milligrams of Dilaudid.
In my
IV.
All right.
Again, I had the Toradol, which is an anti-inflammatory. That helped. Again, they had me on the baclofen. They had to be really, really careful, because I have a really bad shoulder tick.
Okay.
It's caused by my meds that I was on, and it's on my left side. That's where they put the pacemaker.
Yeah,
at.
Yeah.
So they kept having to give me muscle relaxers to keep it quiet, because at home, my cannabis keeps it quiet.
Yeah.
But I couldn't use it in the hospital.
So you had to get
And you can't move your arm at all. I had to keep my arm in a sling. I couldn't move it at all. And my tick is totally involuntary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they had to keep it quiet somehow. Then I get discharged 24 hours later. I come home. I'm home, and I'm feeling pretty good, actually.
Okay.
I was feeling pretty darn good. I remember being outside doing a video and laughing with my husband and, you know, I was feeling pretty good. And within 3 hours after I got home, I was having horrible chest pains and calling 911.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. And so I ended up heading to that's the most, I'd have to say that's the closest that I thought I was to death.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was going on. I'd never experienced chest pains like that before in my life.
Wow, wow.
And they couldn't figure out, the only thing they can figure out what it was is that my muscles had some sort of a reaction to them pulling out the temporary in my neck.
Okay.
And okay. The muscles that went to my heart, they started spasming, and that's what caused it. But I had no clue what was doing it. So I go to another hospital. This is a different one,
mm-hmm.
because when they come to my house, they're not taking me clear down to Southern Maryland in Calvert County.
Of course not. Of course not.
They said, no, we're going to run you to the closest one, and they have a great cardiology department. We're like, okay. So they wheel me into Southern Maryland Hospital. Now, Southern Maryland has a 2-star rating.
Oh, that's not good. And that's not good.
No, I understand why now.
Well, that's true. So, but we might have to get you back on to finish because we're running out of time.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah,
well, let me tell you really quick.
Yes.
They weren't very supportive at all. They didn't know I was doing cannabis. They denied me pain meds.
Okay, wow.
It was awful because they went from first handing out opiates like crazy in the hospital to now they don't even want to give it to you, and I'm laying in bed yelling and screaming in pain.
Wow.
Okay.
That's crazy.
I end up having difficulty with my pacemaker because they didn't give me my meds like I needed to keep it quiet. My tick went crazy. It pulled my lead out. I had to have another surgery in D.C. a week later. They fixed me up there. I, again, did not tell them I was a cannabis patient.
Yeah.
I did not want to go there.
Yeah.
It hurt. I was in so much pain. It was awful.
Wow.
Again, I had to beg for Percocet. It
wow.
was absolutely asinine and ridiculous that even the fact that they didn't even know I was a cannabis patient. I told them when I was leaving. She denied me pain meds to the fact that I hurt so bad that I threw up 7 times before I discharged out of the hospital.
Ooh, yeah, I wouldn't go back there again. I would definitely not recommend that. So,
well, wow. that one was MedStar George Washington, but still, it's frustrating because they were handing it out like crazy, right?
Yeah.
You know, don't leave your. The thing was, is they were told, don't do any harm. If you keep your patient in pain, you're doing them
harm. You're doing harm.
Okay,
exactly.
So let's give them pain meds. Now the DEA is coming after them and saying, stop doing this. So now they're doing harm the other direction. They've you know, turned the corner, and now they're going a complete 180.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. So, but you're all right now. Everything's good now. You're doing well and not having any issues.
Yep, I'm doing good now. And now I'm working with some local doctors and nurses over here. And we'd really like to start a grassroots program in Calvert County Hospital, Calvert Memorial, to start educating doctors and nurses and medical personnel. Clear down to who does the insurance billings, you know?
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. That sounds like a great idea. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening, Amy. You're always a pleasure to have. And one day we just got to give you a whole show slot because we can talk forever with you. And because we can. We have. But anyway, thank you very much for giving us your time and your story. And, of course, we will be following up with you.
You're very welcome. Anytime, guys.
All right. You have
Thanks,
yourself
Amy.
A good night.
Thanks, Amy.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. And that was Amy. And she was telling us about her experience that she had. And, you know, now we have to move on. And we'll follow her. We always follow her. All right. So, Joe, what's new in the news?
And now for the news.
Well, hey, Anthony, thanks for asking. Get a load of these news stories. I hate when people have to pull this kind of shit. What the hell are they thinking? Is this really going to accomplish anything? And this is by our friend Daniel Uria from www.upi.com, June 21st. A man in England began following his workplace's female dress code.
Wow.
After he was sent home for wearing shorts.
Wow. All right.
Joey attempted to wear shorts and a black dress shirt to his job at a call center during a heat wave in the area. If women can wear skirts and dresses at work, can I wear smart shorts like so? Joey asked Monday on Twitter. Shortly after he posted an update stating he had been sent home from work for violating the company's dress code, he decided to return to the office wearing a black dress with pink and orange stripes, stating
that
he expected to be sent home once again. Joey received an unexpected reaction when he returned to work and was pulled into an office to be informed male employees be permitted to wear shorts due to his statement. Partial win. Joey wrote alongside a photo of an office memo announcing the dress code change. Joey said he was given the opportunity to go home and change out of the dress, but decided to keep the outfit on for the rest of the day. Aww. It must have sparked a feeling for him.
You know, honestly, you know, for me, I've always said I would wear a dress.
Right?
I wouldn't look good in a dress, but I would wear it. It's hot. It's almost, it's 8:30 and we have a heat index of 100 degrees because it's like 500 million percent humidity outside. It's like a pool. So
that's insanity.
I would wear a skirt to work. It won't be pretty, but...
Moving on. Really? I've never heard of this before. I have to tell you. But this is really interesting. This is also from our friend Daniel Uria from www.upi.com. June 20th, a hotel in Canada was robbed of a preserved... Get this. A preserved human toe used as an ingredient in its Unique signature drink. Ew. Human toe.
Oh, no, thank you. No.
The sourdough saloon at Dawson City's downtown hotel was enraged by the theft of the toe used to create its sour toe cocktail, which is dropped in a shot of whiskey that the drinker must swallow until the toe reaches their lips. Ew. Ugh. We are furious, Terry, the saloon's toe
captain. You're all crazy.
Told Global News. This guy asked to do the toe after the 9 to 11 p.m. toe time hours.
Ooh, toe time.
And one of the new staff served it to him to be nice. And this is how he pays her back. What a lowlife. Sourdough Saloon identified the suspect Beef as a man from Quebec who had a French accent.
Oui, oui, Michel. Where's Betty when we need her?
Oh, no, she's not around.
Oh, well.
I can't.
You can't parvel the lawns on command. Yeah. That's okay. Please continue.
I'm holding a red velvet donut in my
hand. Oh, yeah, red velvet donut. Well, I got popcorn in one hand and a very empty glass of wine. In fact, I've drank it inside out. So continue.
So the hotel has pre-established a $2,500 fine for anyone guilty of stealing the toe. A patron was fined $500 for deliberately swallowing the toe in 2013.
Ooh, so you know how they got that back.
Stunts like this adversely affect the whole community, not just a downtown hotel. The hotel manager said the toe was cured in salt for 6 months after it was donated by a man who had to have it surgically removed. Staff said the suspect left behind a certificate commemorating his entry into the Sour Toe Cocktail Club containing his name.
Yeah.
Police are in the midst of investigating the incident. So if you know where the Sour Toe is...
I'm sure they're right on that one. Let's move on. Yes. I'm done talking about this one.
Tick-tock. Tick-tock. Boop. This is from Sam Howard. He's new to our friends at UPI.com. So Jerry lost an alarm clock 13 years ago, and the timepiece still buzzes a reminder every night.
Wow.
The clock, stuck behind the walls of his Pittsburgh-area home, blasts its alarm each evening at 6:50 p.m. or 7:50 p.m., depending on the time of the year. So this Jerry person told CBS Pittsburgh he mistakenly dropped the clock down an air vent while he made home repairs in September of 2004.
Really?
The clock was set to go off 10 minutes later, originally meant to tell Lynn where he could put a hole in his living room wall to set up a television. So he thought he only needed to put up with the buzzing for 2 or 3 months when he assumed the battery would die. Instead, the alarm has gone off every night since that day.
13 years. How does that happen?
How do you put up with that?
No, how do you have a battery that lasts for 13 years?
I know. Yeah.
That's when real men made batteries the American way.
So him and his wife don't intend to fish the clock out of their wall anytime soon, though. I guess they've just gotten used to it.
No, I guess so.
And that's it for my news. Back to you, Anthony.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm still kind of all freaked out about that toad thing. Let me tell you. Wow, look at that. Look at that. We got 10 seconds. Talk about squeezing in on time.
All right, let me
do this. All right. Thanks, Joe. Do you want to be part of this digitally distorted, on-air, spelled with an I, chicken-exploding, multipath, user datagram, protocol streaming experience? Well, visit Chiampa, chiampa.info to find out how. Hang tight, folks. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Donut.
Yeah, you get your... I'm getting some M&M's.
Hello, everybody. This is Joe, your host on WEED Chiampa Radio. Do you miss those commercials that we used to broadcast? You know, some of those retro commercials for Alka-Seltzer, and Kent Cigarettes, and Philip Morris? Well, tonight, in Joe's Retro Commercials, we bring them to you here on WEED Chiampa Radio. Flashback.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
You're listening to Chiampa Weed Radio. Chicago, Tampa, Chiampa Radio.
This station is being brought to you via Nullsoft Shoutcast streaming technology. For more information, visit shoutcast.com.
Make your commute more commutable. Catch weekday rush hour hosted by our lovable automated personality unit, Betty, from 6:30 to 10:30 Eastern every weekday morning. Betty scours the internet for all kinds of questionably awesome content, and then she plays it in bite-sized 15-minute segments. Combined with her sassy attitude, Betty is sure to make your coffee percolate. Then make your drive home more exciting with Traffic with Toppers. Weekday afternoons from 3:30 to 7:30 Eastern, Gil and his unique cast of characters bring you the latest chartbusters of days gone by in a way that is sure to make you laugh. Visit www.chiampa.info for a complete schedule of programming.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznat from Nullsoft Shoutcast.
Where are you, Betty?
Come here, Betty.
Welcome back.
Betty. Hey. Betty, Betty, Betty.
Stay tuned for Anthony's crazy Florida news.
Hi, Betty.
Next. But first, I want to tell you, thank God it's Monday. And, according to www.nationaldaycalendar.com, today is like National Beauticians Day and National Chocolate Pudding Day. Ooh, pudding. Fat Joe loves pudding. Anyway, hey, you beautiful people. You too, Anthony. Go grab your bongs, bitches, so we can spread Anthony's crazy Florida news. Take it away, Anthony.
Betty can be so hateful sometimes.
No problem, Anthony.
Yeah, no problem, Anthony. That's how Betty
is. I am so stressed out.
Yeah, you think you're stressed out. Take a sociology class. All right. It's that time for Crazy Florida News. the village's news.
Yes, yeah. Wait, where'd they go? What, really? That was an instant audience. It was there and it was gone. It was. There we go. There we go. Yay!
Hey!
The village's news brings us our first story of the night, and it involves a woman with a golf cart and a whole lot of wine loving the Florida lifestyle. I finished
I'm going to stop you quickly, though, and just say I read this news story, and I was just, yeah. I was like, I visualized it really hard, and it was a very scary visualization.
It is. It really is. It really is. All right. So she's living the Florida lifestyle. Joyce, 62, of the village of St. Charles, was having a blast one afternoon as she took a spin on her green golf cart. Apparently, she was having such a blast that her golf cart was hitting curbs, driving in and out of the golf cart lane, and driving in front of oncoming vehicles. Joyce then drove the golf cart through someone's yard and eventually was blocked in by a witness. and the police were contacted. The Sumter County Sheriff's Office arrived and questioned Joyce, who admitted that she had consumed some wine. The deputy spotted a cardboard 1-liter wine container inside a compartment on the dashboard, along with numerous green leaves and sticks on the floorboard of the golf cart, suggesting that Joyce had recently hit a bush. Gotta love that.
You know, I apologize, folks. This is not the story I was thinking of. Actually, there was a really gruesome story. There was a lady in a golf course in a cart,
yeah,
that got killed because she was holding two wine glasses and the dude made a left-hand turn. And apparently she fell out.
Ooh, and impaled herself with the wine glass. Yeah. Wow, that's terrible. That's terrible. But, no, I try not to do death. I don't like to do death stories. There's a lot of them. So if you notice that, look through my stories. I try not to do anything where people die.
I know.
I just like the Darwinism thing. The Darwin participant or the runner-up. All right.
The darker side of Joe.
The darker side of Joe. Joe does the death. Joyce, there's shit all over the golf cart suggesting that Joyce had recently hit a bush. Yeah. Wait, hold on.
So she's driving around in this golf course with a cart.
Flying around. All right. So Joyce told the deputy that she lived around the corner and wanted to go home. And then she asked, "Do we have to do this?" EMS arrived on the scene and determined that Joyce's blood sugar levels and other vitals were normal. However, she failed a field sobriety exercise and blew a .207, .243, and a .242.
I'm not even going
crazy. Wait. Hold on. She's on the wheel of intoxication.
Ooh, okay, that's a long time.
That's a long wheel
that
spin.
Had to be had to be a wake-up of horror, though, because you're hungover.
No, right. Wait, there we go. So a .207, .243, and a .242. Shoot, what happened?
I did it.
She was arrested and charged for driving under the influence and booked at the Sumter County Detention Center. She was released after posting only $500 bond because Florida is soft on drunk drivers. All right. Because it is. So our next one was that was a collective sigh. If anyone would like to call in and join in on the collective sigh, you can call us and sigh at 813-327-8566. We are open for business. We do not have rotisserie chickens. We can be what?
Sigh Public Radio.
Sigh Public Radio SPR. Jeez. Oh my goodness. All right, our next crazy Florida news story comes from the Pensacola News Journal. Pensacola! The Redneck Riviera, as some people call it. Police say Demetrius, 25, was very busy.
Wait, no. It's Demetrix.
Is it Demetrix? Is it Demetrix or is it Dimitri? I am bad with ethnic names. I'm terrible.
It's Demetrix.
Is it? I think it's Demetrius. It's Demetrius.
Demetrix. Let's see how Betty would pronounce it. Hold on. Let's copy this. Let's paste this into one of these dealios.
Do we have to spin the wheel again?
This is perfect music for this, too. Almost. And then we have to.
We haven't even gotten to the damn story.
We haven't gotten to the damn story yet.
I'm hearing myself.
I'm hearing myself.
Demetrics.
See?
Demetrics.
See? Wow. Even Betty thinks it's Demetrics.
Yeah, well, Betty kind of pronounces Cheyampa wrong, too. I'm going to say Demetrius. 25 was very busy early one Tuesday morning. First, according... Joe, go do something. First, according to reports, he went to his ex-girlfriend's house on Diego Circle and left a shoe in her mailbox. His ex has an injunction order against him and told the sheriff's office that Demetrius often leaves items in her mailbox.
I just saw what you started typing, but I don't know what you typed. So I'm going to keep reading my news script. And I'm going to try to see what's going on here. Then, according to witnesses, Demetrius threw a silver scooter through the front window of the house. After that, a witness said that a mailbox was ripped from his post. Oh, my God, I'm reading the line below that. And thrown through another house window. And Joe wonders, Joe is typing in the screen, in the script, wondering about Mr. Demetrius's endowment. So there you go. There's your LGBT moment. There's your, we got it. Oops, no, wrong one. Oopsie. There we go.
It's that too.
those are some sturdy mailboxes. My mailbox can't even withstand the tap from a drunk driver over the weekend.
Additional, you get those a lot in your communities?
Yeah, oh my! Yeah, they just run. They love my my mailbox is like target practice for them. Additional neighbors reported that the car windows had been smashed and several more mailboxes were damaged or ripped from their posts. Witnesses who allegedly witnessed Demetrius, who wrote this damn thing, Demetrius committed the crimes, told police that they saw him go into a house on Fort Smith Circle. We gotta fire our scriptwriters here. Police found him in the shower, washing off blood, according to the report. Demetrius is charged with a total of 13 counts of damaging property, criminal mischief, 4 counts of throwing a missile into a building, 1 count of stalking, and 1 count of contempt of court. He is being held in Escobilla County Jail on $43,000 bond. I think he is our winner for this quarter in bail.
Yeah, that's a high amount.
I have to go through and do a search on all of my scripts.
All the bails?
See,
yes.
Find all the bails. And see who wins. Maybe that can be a contest at the end of the year. We can like do a little gift giveaway and get like I can give you like a gift certificate to like McDonald's.
There we go.
Or Circle K. What else is near the studio? We can get a.
How about that Chinese place next door? Do they have gift certificates?
I don't know if we'd want to subject our listeners to the Chinese restaurant next door. At least I don't know why I subject myself to it.
They've got egg rolls.
The accounting office, though, seems popular this time of year. Maybe we'll get you a free tax CPA audit or something. I don't know. All right. So I have a feeling he won't be bothering his ex for a long time. Let's go to our next story before we totally fly off the rails tonight. And I have a feeling that's where we're going. Goodbye, stability. And finally, our naked Florida news story of the night comes from the Crestview News Bulletin. This is not your typical Florida naked news story, but then what is typical Florida? For some reason, a 29-year-old woman in Crestview thought it would be cute to send her boyfriend some naked photos of herself. Now, we all know how these types of photos generally find their way to more people than the original sender had intended. Well, as expected, the woman discovered that her boyfriend had sent off her nude photos to someone else, and they're probably all over Tumblr by now.
Oh, of course.
So she engaged in an argument with him. First, she picked up a log and threw it at his car.
Ooh, now you can go on Judge Judy.
Judge Judy. Yes. She threw a log at me, at my car. Yes. Yeah. So I hear a little echo of myself, believe it or not. I don't know where that's coming from.
Well, that's it's not a, for me because you are on mute.
I am on mute. Okay. Well, now it's gone. Maybe it was just an artifact in the time-space continuum.
Continuum.
So as expected, the woman did... Oh, wait, no. First, she picked up a log and threw it at the car. Then she started to swing her arms in a threatening manner and was using profanity, according to reports. Her boyfriend reacted in self-defense, picked up a fishing pole and slapped her on the left side of her body under her arm and back to keep her from hitting him. The woman told deputies that her boyfriend kept bringing up the nude pictures, and that made her mad. She admitted to throwing the log at him, but she said that she cannot recall her actions when she gets mad. The echo is coming from you. And that's all for your crazy Florida news.
The echo is coming from me, par vous valance.
Yes, when I solo it. Your channel.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank the database you are tuned to, Shyampa Radio. Before we get started with the plethora discussion segment, did you know that you two can hang out with these two idiots and be a part of the studio experience? Give us a call now at 813-327-8566. But now, go grab your bones, bitches, because our two lovable stoners are going to start blabbering on about this or that. Hold on. Here it comes. Woohoo. The plethora discussion segment. Take it away, guys.
Woohoo. It's time for Two for Monday. Ooh. Guess what, folks? If you are a fan of Takashi Murakami, he is here. He's a Japanese artist. He's a collaborator with a lot of artists and lots of crazy people in the entertainment world.
Wow.
But he's at the Museum of Contemporary Art off of Michigan Avenue here in Chicago. You got to get tickets. It's not something you can just stroll on in and see.
No,
and
you can.
You could.
You can?
That's no.
So sad.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
Well, you know, he's that big. He's that popular.
Wow. Good for him.
Right? You know, he dresses up in funny costume clothing, and he does all these, like, characters and things, and it's just, it's supposed to be cool, and I think I got a plug from someone you know. That says I should go take their go take pictures over there because it's kind of cool. So that's the one thing. And then Facebook
wasn't that cryptic.
Facebook is all Harry Potter today.
Is it really?
So if you type it in your any status window, like if you're making a post, comment field, you get a wand.
Where's my phone?
That poofs out a graphic of a wand and fireworks and stars are displayed. You can also type in any one of the different houses. Like Slytherin or Hufflepuff or whatever the other ones are. And when those become highlighted, they all can poof a wand too. It's harmless fun. But it's all to celebrate the birthday of the first Harry Potter novel to be released for consumption. Consume. Consume more. Be happy.
Wow.
Now get this.
Okay.
Elon Musk wants to whisk me around. Y'all know who Elon Musk is, right? He's
the dude
that owns SpaceX and Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Tesla, he's famous Telson. Also for this Hyperloop thing idea.
Ooh, the Hyperloop.
He's currently, he's the Hyperloop, the Hyper thing.
You know, Metamucil will give you a Hyperloop, too.
That's a Hyper poop. So, but he wants to create one of his Hyperloop ideas here in Chicago to whisk downtown to O'Hare. Going at about 125 miles an hour.
Wow.
That's fast.
That is fast.
Yep. So that's something
that's
to
keep an eye on. That's
theoretical,
of course, because by the time... You know, once it hits the expressway, it will be all jammed up.
Of course. Or any of the other bureaucratic tolls that are set up between, you know, Cook County, the state, the city.
Exactly.
You know, and any other private tolling business that has been given over to the hands of contracts and the devil.
And the devil. Ezel sent us his electric bill.
Oh,
I don't know why. I got the mail today, and it's an electric bill from Ezel, and I'm like, Ezel, we love you, but we're not paying your electric bill. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I just recently got onto the budget plan for my electric bill, and I'm glad because our rates are going to be going up.
So here's the thing: you're with Con Ed too, right? Yeah, Con Ed.
Yep.
So obviously Ezel is with Con Ed too, and he was pointing something out on the bill. Apparently, you get smiley faces on your bill. Do you get smiley faces on your bill?
I don't know. I don't get a paper bill anymore.
He does. Oh, see, because he has smiley faces.
And he writes on the smiley face. He said, "What are we in kindergarten?" And then he says, "What has this country come to?" And then he's apparently he objected to the set your thermostat at 78 degrees. He writes on it. He says to roast a pig, which surprisingly, I mean, I in Florida, mine is set at 77, and that's usually good. Once it gets below 77, it like gets like meat locker in here. So
chilly cold.
So thank you, Ezel, for your electric bill, but we will not be paying it. So please do not expect that to be paid. We do not pay bills here at the studio. Even our own electric bill is in question sometimes. But thank you for sharing, and maybe we will scan this and post it up on the Facebook webs. So yeah, maybe we'll do some Harry Potter thing with it, you know, Harry Potter and the energy conservation excursion.
The Harry Potter wand of electricities.
Of clean energy electricities. So, yes. Okay. So keep track of your dog, #. That's my issue today.
What's going on?
Folks that don't know, there's like this app out there on the planet, in the app sphere, in the worldwide web, the interwebs, in the pipes, in the tubes, in the internet tubes. It's called Nextdoor, and it allows you to connect with your neighbors. It's kind of like a social media app for your neighborhood.
Yep, I'm familiar with it.
And I think Joe uses it. I use it as well. And
yours is more interesting.
Yes, mine is more interesting because recently, probably about a month and a half ago, we had an issue with somebody discovering a box of dead chickens on the side of the road. On one of the there's like a back road that comes into the subdivision, and they discovered a thing of dead chickens. which we were all kind of stumped by. We're like, well, that's just kind of odd. I mean, we discover sofas. People dump sofas.
Well, once there was
a treadmill back there. Ooh, and bless you. The microphone goes at the other end, dude.
By the way.
Yes.
My bill does not have smiley faces.
You do not have smiley faces on your bill.
There is no smiley faces on my bill.
Well, Ezel gets a special bill then. Maybe Ezel just made up this bill. Maybe he's trying to get me to pay a fake bill. I think
now,
we're on to
you,
Ezel.
Did you say Con Ed or Com Ed?
You know, that's a good question. I think it says Con Ed. I think the bill said Con Ed, not Com Ed.
That's fake news.
Wait, hold on. Remit payment to Ezel. There's his address. See? We're not falling for it, Ezel. Good for you, though. You tried.
I was on the report. I was investigative chip skipper.
Well, I don't know what you guys have over there. ComEd, ConEd.
Oh, wow. I used 5 more kilowatt hours of electricity this year compared to last year.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know.
Very interesting.
It's Betty. That's because Betty's been there more.
I know, right?
Betty, she sucks up juice. I'm glad she's visiting you for a while because I'm kind of done with her around the studio. It's been kind of nice. Yeah, it's been kind of nice. I mean, the scripts aren't as well written. She's not around to write the scripts, but
See, now my gas bill, that is a different story. That sucker has got like a big balance.
Oh my! Do they charge you for every time you fart? Is that your gas bill? That's why it's so expensive. Wow! Yeah, I do remember gas was always a high
gas bill. Is expensive. So
gas is very.
If
expensive.
You don't have to have gas, don't get it. Just use electricities.
Unfortunately, in the northern climates, you have to use gas. You can't heat with electricity because electricity. I mean, for here, we can get by with electricity, but when it like we have days where it gets like to 30 degrees, because you know a lot of us have heat pumps, but it's like you have like this auxiliary heater, this emergency auxiliary heater that also kicks in. But the house, once it starts getting below 30, you can't keep the house warm.
And part of it, too, is insulation.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
How
there's
old the
none.
Building is.
There's none.
Pipes
there's none.
Insulated, that kind of thing.
My goodness. In the studio? Jesus. Nothing's insulated. I can look. Look, I can look through a hole in the ceiling, and I can see Sputnik. I mean, it's right there. I mean, you know. We've contacted the landlord. But,
Uh-oh,
what happened?
Ooh, she looks pissed.
Uh-oh. Hold on.
Hey, Betty, how you doing over there?
It's Betty. Look, the ugly lights are coming on.
I see them coming in, too. They look pissed, too. What's going on? Is there, like, an employee action or something happening?
Who knows? Anyway.
We need your money, folks.
Things are getting a little weird. So I want to thank you for tuning in tonight, listening in on our recast later on, or just supporting us in your special little snowflake way.
Yes, thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Joe and Anthony Show on Chi Amber Radio. Got nothing to do weekend afternoons? Check out my show, Weekend with Joe, where I'm going to start adding, if I have the impetus to do so, little, like, 3 or 2 or 1 minute science spots. I'm going to just, like, pick the headlines I like and put them out there in some really cool background music. Anyways, I play lots of nerdy science and music-y and jazzy stuff from archive.org and radio for all.net. You can catch Weekend with Joe every Saturday and Sunday starting at 4 p.m. Eastern.
I'm sorry, I was loading the This Way Art Out cart in queue. You can make your morning commute more commutable with Weekday Rush Hour, hosted by our lovable automated personality unit, Betty. She has questionably awesome programming from archive.org, I see a moving cursor in the background, and radioforall.net, combined with a sassy attitude that's sure to make your morning your coffee percolate. And she has an automated lady part. I'm not saying that. Then, on your drive home, you can catch Traffic with Toppers weekday afternoons from 3:30 to 7:30 Eastern. Gil dusts off the most obscure music and combines it with his own brand of comedy to make your ride home far more enjoyable.
You know, and I have to say, I've been hearing some different Toppers lately, so that's awesome. So
that's
much awesome programming. You won't find this stuff anywhere on mainstream media because they are boring. Oh, and hey, be sure to tune into our 24-hour internet radio station, Shyapa Radio, at any time.
Anytime
on your
like.
Mobile, your tablet, or your silicophone, too, visit us at www.shyampa.info. Spell out Shyampa. Chiampa. We have the most current and up-to-date broadcast schedule, and you can keep track of the Joe and Anthony Show notices. Also, make sure you follow us on facebook.com/ShyAmpaRadio and also at Twitter at ShyAmpaRadio. Do we have chat time?
A little bit. Not very much, though.
It's okay. It was a good show. Thank you, Amy, for coming on to the show tonight. That was really awesome. We'll have to have you back on because there's always something, coming up in the medical cannabis world.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And thank you, listener, for giving us some feedback on our echo issue.
We like feedback. Unfortunately, yeah, it was Amy's head. We had discussed it before she went on air, and she knew that her headset made echo, and we didn't hear it as much when we had her off air, and then when we went live, it kind of went crazy. But we didn't want to interrupt the interview, so we figured we'd just let it go on. But yeah, next time.
You know, it's episode 93.
It's 93. You know it happens.
We're getting there to 420.
Yeah, go look. Go listen to episode like 1 or 2, and then at least we're a little bit better this time around. We actually have a script now.
I am so stressed out.
And she's always stressed out. All right, thanks everyone for tuning in tonight. We will be back next Monday. Ooh, that's a holiday Monday. check out our blog at www.shyampa.info. And remember, folks, don't steal someone's tow while driving drunk on a golf cart after throwing a log through the window of a dress barn. Have a good night, a good week, and stay tuned for a brand new episode of This Way Out with an L for lesbian.
Ooh.
Boom chakalaka. Good night, team.
This station is being brought to you via Nullsoft Shoutcast streaming technology. For more information, visit shoutcast.com.
Sounds for promotional, background, and other tracks are from Incompetech by Kevin MacLeod. Visit them at incompetech.com. Royalty-free music. You're listening to Shyampa Weed Radio, Chicago, Tampa,
Shyampa Radio.